let's see, we are going to do Senate File 247. Senator Peterson.
Dames.
Pardon me?
Senator Dames.
Why does it say? Oh, you're going to. Hey, Senator Peterson, you are moving the bill. Senator Peterson, excuse me, I'll be all right. Senator Peterson moves that Senate File 247 be recommended to pass and placed on general orders. So to your bill.
Mr. Chair and members, I'm here today to introduce bill number 247 as has been amended out of the last stop. This bill deals with the Public Employees Insurance Program, and what this bill does is cleans up some of the areas in the, as we call it, the PEEP program. The first area, it allows for both the bargaining unit and the school board to be in agreement in order for the bargaining unit to switch over to the PEEP program. It also requires that a majority of the members within the bargaining unit that would switch to the program approve of the switch. It also has some language in there dealing with the health coverage for people that are retired. The retirees would have to coordinate along with the Medicare benefits. The other provisions have been taken out, so that would be the bill. Today with me, I have two folks testifying in support of the bill, Grace Kelleher and Laura Kushner. So I will turn it over to Grace.
Well, state your name for the committee, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. My name is Grace Kelleher, and I represent the Minnesota School Boards Association. I would like to thank Senator Dunn for bringing this bill forward. We urge you strongly to support this bill. School boards are responsible for making sure school district budgets are balanced and that their benefit costs are in line with state and local financial support for education services. Thanks. To protect employee interests in salary and benefits, as law outlines a collective bargaining process by which decisions and benefits and compensation are reached. State law does not allow school boards to make unilateral changes in the aggregate value of insurance benefits, even a simple change in provider networks. That is why we are concerned about the current law, which allows employee groups to make unilateral decisions to move into the Public Employees Insurance Program. Historically, PEEP has been an insurer of last resort, and enrollment into this program hasn't been on our radar screen. However, we have been made aware through previous testimony by Education Minnesota that at least 220 school employee groups in Minnesota are currently seeking insurance bids from PEEP. PEEP may provide better coverage at a better price for employees of public schools, but at this time, we, the people that are paying the bills and who are responsible for balancing the budget, are not aware of what these bids entail. We don't know which employee groups in these districts are considering moving to PEEP, and whether or not it includes all insurance-eligible employees. That is why we're supporting the common sense reforms in this bill. For starters, the legislation requires that the employer groups in particular school districts to get on the same page and decide if a majority of all school employee groups desire to move into PEEP. This will prevent problems caused by the current law where a teacher group may leave a district health plan and leave support staff behind. The legislation also requires that the exclusive representatives and eligible employers to review the insurance bids from PEEP and compare them with current health care offerings. Keep in mind that employee school groups currently seeking bids aren't required to share the information they are gathering. More importantly, when it comes to PEEP enrollment, this bill requires the eligible employer who is paying the bill and has fiduciary responsibility for the district finances to approve the decision to enroll in PEEP. The last section of the bill extends consumer protection and best practices competitive bidding required into PEEP. The legislation requires PEEP to give individual groups their claims tracking reports upon request and allows those groups to see competitive bids without penalty. With that, Mr. Chairman, I would encourage the committee to support Senator Dahm's bill and stand for questions.
Okay. Any questions for Ms. Kelly? Not right now. Okay. You have other testifiers?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I'd like to have Laura testify next.
State your name for the tape, please, and
Mr.
welcome
Chair.
To the committee.
My name is Laura Kushner. I'm Human Resources Director with the League of Minnesota Cities. I would like to go on record saying that the League supports the reforms outlined in Senate File 247. Has done a good job of addressing the concerns and issues that we have. We do not think it's fair for employee groups to unilaterally move into the public employees insurance program without the consent of the city. It's been a concern for some cities as well, and we concur with these issues. We think cities as employers need to have a voice in determining what coverage they will offer their employees, since they do pay a significant portion of the cost. And we would just also like to point out finally that this issue in reverse. The city is not allowed under law to unilaterally decide to move a union group to a different plan or a different carrier without negotiating. We just ask for that same consideration. Again, I would encourage your support, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
So, Ms. Kushner, to make sure I understand this, so the group of employees could just sign up for this, and then the city would be obligated to make the payments?
That is my understanding. Yes.
Mr. Chair, I'll respond to that. Currently, if a group wants to go into the public employee insurance program, they can do that without the approval of the employer. And we're saying that it needs to be a collective bargaining situation to where both sides have to agree in order for this to happen. Under the current PEEP program, that is correct. And that's one of the things we're requesting to change.
Okay. Senator Catlett.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Senator Dames, but this is also including people that are not under the collective bargaining program to be included in any change. If I read this right, I'm not sure that I am, but is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Senator Kielash, this allows for non-bargaining unit people to be part of it, but they don't have to be part of it if they're not part of the bargaining unit. The bargaining unit could go in without taking the other people, but the other people can go in.
I think Senator, I missed my question. I think what I meant by that was that the bargaining unit wants to go in, and the school board has a dozen or 100 other employees, and I think what this is saying that they have to be considered to go into the same program, and maybe I'm reading that wrong, but it's like you can't just do one or the other.
Mr. Chair, Senator Kielash, what this bill is saying is that if the bargaining unit goes in, the entire bargaining unit has to go in. You're separating, you're including the non-bargaining unit people and the bargaining unit people. Make the separation. Bargaining unit people, if somebody wants to go in, the majority of the bargaining unit has to approve it. The entire bargaining unit has to move in.
Okay.
Okay. Senator Sieben.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Dahms, I'm trying to understand this, and earlier some lobbyists came and talked to me about it and said that this is a measure that will level the playing field, that right now public employees have too much power and this will help level the playing field. And I presented the question and didn't get an answer that I understood or an adequate answer. And if a group of teachers wants to opt into PEEP and they can do so easily, why do we still have teachers in the state of Minnesota who don't have health insurance coverage?
Mr. Chair, Senator Sieben, there's various reasons there's teachers that may not have health insurance coverage. If you look at some union contracts, ma'am, Senator, you will find that they've negotiated probably not to have health insurance but to have a higher wage. So to say specifically, that's a separate situation, a separate issue from what we're talking about in PEEP. PEEP isn't going to say we're going to insure more people. What PEEP is it's another option for people or for a marketing group to, or I'm sorry, a bargaining group to purchase their insurance from. It's not going to change the negotiations that the school and the bargaining unit are going to have as far as who pays for what amount of insurance and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That's not going to change that. So that's part of the collective bargaining unit. What this is going to do is add the language to that collective bargaining unit saying that in order for that group to go into the PEEP program, it has to be collectively bargained between the bargaining unit and the employer.
Thank you. I hope that we'll hear from some. We'll have time to hear from opponents, too, just so we can better understand their perspective.
We will. Further discussion for any questions for these testifiers? Okay. Is there anyone who would care to testify against the bill? Ms. Alfanger, welcome to the committee. If you could state your name for the tape, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Jan Allswiger with Education Minnesota. And Education Minnesota strongly opposes this bill. But I would also say that in some ways it's a good thing that we're having this discussion. Why is this bill here? I would take you back a few years, how as we have tried to pass a statewide health insurance pool, we were unsuccessful. And the senators, the House members, all said it should be, or the opposition said, it should be voluntary. It should be competitive. So we walked away from further working on a statewide health insurance pool that was mandatory, and we did exactly what was told to us. Let's do something voluntary. Let's provide more competition. As a result, Education Minnesota informed our members of the law that allows the exclusive representative to get a bid from PEEP. Why do they need to do this? We have 6 school districts that don't have health insurance. I guarantee you, and I would encourage you to ask them, there was no desire to negotiate away health insurance for higher salary. The only reason they did it is because they could no longer afford it. We have teachers and school employees who have $28,000 and $33,000 a year premiums. They have gone to PEEP or they've gotten out of health insurance. $26,000, I believe it was Maple River. They no longer have health insurance like they had hoped that they could have health insurance. That is not a choice. It's a reality of life when the average beginning teacher makes $33,000. So we did. Went through the bid process. We had 220 locals that went through to get the competitive bid. You know what? It's working out quite well. And a number of them had said, no, we're not interested, but we have a significant number that are still interested in it. They will have to make a decision by May 30th. That is why this bill is so important to make sure that we kill this bill, that it is not passed, because it will stop the voluntary nature and the competitive nature that is going on right now. This bill gives the school board the veto power at the front end and at the end. So you must have a majority of the school employees in the bargaining unit, yes, support this. But you also have to have approval of the school board in that district. We had 14 school districts before we started going through this major effort and pushing the possibility of PEEP. We have 14 school districts that went into PEEP a couple of few years ago. We sought the administration's support for going into PEEP. Not one of them wanted to go with to get the bid from PEEP. It was only because the law is written the way that it is, where the exclusive rep can get the bid, that they were successful. 14 districts went in. What's happened with those 14 districts? On average, those 14 districts next year will see a 6.6% decrease in their premiums. That's voluntary. It's competitive. It's working. One of the locals, Moose Lake, had seen double-digit increases for a number of years. Next year, a 23% decrease. Detroit Lakes, a 2% decrease. Duluth was one of the districts that came in just a little bit later to go into PEEP. They were quoted by Health Partners to get a 15.8% increase in their premiums. The teachers decided to go out for a bid. Health Partners came back with a 6% increase. That's competition. That's voluntary. The teachers decided, no, we're going to go with PEEP anyway because we haven't been happy with the increases we've had in the past. They went into PEEP. Next year, between June 30th and July 1st, using the projected budgeted amount that they had been given in insurance premium increases from Health Partners and what the district was doing, they will save, get this, $1.7 million. That is district money that is being saved. We've heard about a black hole for education funding. We can tell you where it is. It is in insurance. Now, I have heard the school board side say that they need control of this, it's the cost and all of that. Let me remind you how insurance works with contracts. The school board and the school employee union negotiate a contract to determine how much the school board is going to, or the district is going to, contribute to the insurance. Let's say I'm a teacher, and in the contract negotiations, the school district says, we are going to pay you $400 a month for insurance. They get the insurance through whichever provider, the service co-ops, Blue Cross, Health Partners, Medica, whomever. If the insurance premiums go up today or tomorrow or yesterday, the cap for the school district costs are exactly what they are in the contract. I believe I said $400. It's $400. That's it. When the premiums go up, I pay anything extra. So why is this? I mean, a lot of people will say, well, the school board, wouldn't they go along with this? Isn't this a good idea if it makes sense? Well, I think that might be the case. Unless there are reasons why a school board wouldn't want to go for it, what would those reasons be? This is significant. We did a public data request of every single school district that is working with a service co-op. And we have about $1 million that has been rebated back to school districts. I'd have to look, I haven't added them all up. So, by law, on a service co-op board, which sets the premiums for insurance, by law, they must be a majority of school board members. Moose Lake, the superintendent, is on a service co-op board and refused to go with the teachers for the bid, and it's 23% decrease. So you've got this service co-op board made up of a majority of school board members and their superintendents on that board. When we did the public data request, we learned that when there are extra funds, which we would say are our members, our teachers' money, because remember that $400 per month that I get as a benefit from the school board and anything that I'm contributing towards the premiums goes to the service co-ops. And if my district didn't use as much insurance as we had thought, there's extra money. What we found through this public data request is that service co-ops have been rebating money back to the school districts, and it is going into their general fund or wherever they put it. I don't have that information. So you think about this. If a district is getting this kind of money back, why would they want to leave the service co-ops? Why would they want to go to PEEP? Here are some numbers for you. Evansville, very small district. I don't have the exact numbers, I'm sorry. About 30 or so teachers, possibly. They got $35,772 back from the service co-op. Did the teachers get the money? No. The money went back to the district. Brandon, Minnesota, very small district, central Minnesota. $34,529 refunded to the district. Detroit Lakes, $78,000 one year, $168,480 the next year. I have a long list that I'm not going to put out today, but I've got Battle Lake, Lake Park, Evansville, Detroit Lakes, Browns Valley, Milroy, Stuartville, $80,000 back to Stuartville. $5,000 at Battle Lake. I have a long list. Why would the school board ever want to leave the service co-op if they have the ability to get some money back, which we would believe is our money, our members' money? Detroit Lakes went through a grievance process. It took them a very long time. They finally got some of their money back, maybe all of it. I don't know. Another district is in southeast Minnesota, is just filed a grievance to try to get this money back. Our districts, our teachers have asked for this money back, saying that this is our money. What do you think they hear? No. What are they buying with that? You know, they're probably spending money on very good things for programs for kids. This money that is the majority of the money, if not all, I'm not 100% sure, of this money that goes to the service co-op are our members' insurance premium dollars. I would think as legislators that you would want the accountability and the assurance that the money that the that our members' money that is spent for insurance premiums or collected by insurance premiums is used for the insurance product and the administration of insurance. The service co-op testified a few years ago that they use this money for spelling bees, teacher of the year programs, knowledge bowl. Get this. One of our knowledge bowl coaches was told, if you go out for a bid with PEEP, we will take your funding away from Knowledge Bowl. These are our members' insurance money that is funding school programs. I don't see how ethically that this can be stopped. This bill can go on knowing what is happening out there. Again, I will summarize. Voluntary, competitive. We are doing everything you asked. We have members who can't afford insurance because it's so costly. We have teachers who are dropping in salary rank. Education Minnesota has been fighting this insurance battle because we knew something was going on. We found something. And we have been very professional. We've been very polite. But it is time to let you know what is going on. We beg you, please, do not pass this bill. This is one opportunity for teachers and school employees to have access, transparency, accountability to good health insurance. You know that in CGIP, you've had, as I believe, a 0% increase the last 2 years in your statewide mandatory pool. Well, we would never get that exactly like that with PEEP because it's going to be voluntary. People will go in and out and all that sort of thing. But letting them live the situation that they are doing right now is not good for our school employees. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Allsweyer. Senator Wolf.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Allsweyer, you made the comment that now is the time to let you know what's going on. And I guess my first comment is, with this huge conspiracy that's going on, why has Education Minnesota not come forward to us beforehand and let us know of all this massive amounts of money that we possibly could have been using for schools when planning our budgets?
Mr. Chair and Senator Wolf, we have informed our members. They have been making those requests of the school districts. And we are finding significant resistance. We have filed grievances. We would like our members to deal with the school districts directly because they have a professional working relationship with them. And now that we see that it is not working, it is time to bring this up. I think it's an excellent question.
Senator McGuire, do you have a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Allsweyer, I support teachers. I support teachers getting health care. I support collective bargaining. I support a statewide insurance pool for teachers if we could get there. I'm thinking this isn't the bill that we're able to do that on. But I do, what I've learned about this bill is that it involves the collective bargaining process, and it just allows the school districts and the service districts to be a part of the bargaining, to be a part of the collective bargaining process. So could you explain to me why that isn't the case? Because I support collective bargaining, and I do think that all parties should be at the table for that process.
Ms. Allsweyer.
Mr. Chair, Senator McGuire, the language that I got from the committee administrator is, I believe, the bill as introduced in File 247. And is, I don't believe there is any requirement here that this be a part of the collective bargaining process. I know that there has been language out there, but there is nothing in here that requires it to be collectively bargained. And if that amendment does surface, if it's the amendment that I have seen, that would kill immediately our ability to seek a bid from PEEP this year. Because all a school board would have to do is say, we don't want to bargain this. This bid that we are getting right now, a decision has to be made by May 30th. There are going to be almost no districts that have a collective bargaining agreement that is reached by that time. That would mean that they would all be excluded. But there is nothing in here that requires that this issue be collectively bargained.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I could just ask the author then if there is a, is there a provision in this bill that
if you look at Mr. Chair and Senator McGuire, if you look at line 121, the eligible employer and the exclusive representative of the employees of an appropriate bargaining unit certified under section 179A.12 agreed to the change. So they have to agree, both parties have to agree to the change. And I think you'll find section 179A.12 deals with bargaining units. So I think that that's, I think we're reaching here on if this is going to be collective bargaining or not. And I think what's happening, if I may take a minute to expound here, I think what's happening here is it's a situation to where currently they don't have to collective bargain. And we're saying that we need to collective bargain, and we also have to be on the same level playing ground that would become expected of other insurance companies. And I'm surprised that there's so much contention with this bill, because it is opening up another opportunity. It is giving the schools another opportunity for bids. It's just saying that we need to do it on a level ground, collective bargaining, and also we have to have the same information coming back from the PEEP program
to the other folks that supply insurance so that if the school board can go out and get a cheaper rate down the road, that's what they should be doing. And as far as listening to all the school boards are taking all this money, it's quite surprising that we don't talk about some of the programs that have been supported to the teachers. That's not being brought up. There is some teacher assistance in here. There's some teacher training that comes out of this. We're not really hearing about that. We hear about six school boards that lost their insurance, and it makes it sound like it's because they couldn't join PEEP. That's not because they couldn't join PEEP. If those school boards can't afford insurance now, they're probably not going to be able to afford insurance later. The other issue is there are school boards that have asked for bids that have found that the bids were higher priced, but we're not being told about that. So really what this bill does is it puts on a level playing field, and there shouldn't be the objection that we're getting. The reason we're getting the objection is because we have a unit, a bargaining unit, does not want to collectively bargain on this issue. They don't want to give that up because that's what they currently have under the PEEP program now. That's what's being asked here, and that's what's happening. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Ms. Allswiger.
Mr. Chair and members, I just really do want to clarify that because it says in here that the board and the exclusive rep need to agree, that is it. They do not. It is not a subject of collective bargaining. It does not have to go into the contract. But it goes back to the point that I was making, that why there is less incentive for a school board and to go for the bid if financially they are have some incentive by getting money from a service co-op board in the form of a rebate. And we would argue that there are, as I said, there are some good programs out there, Teacher of the Year Spelling Bee. But that's our members' insurance money. It isn't money that they were contributing for those programs. Even hiring lobbyists for service co-ops. Some of that money, we suspect, is being taken from our members' insurance money to fight our provisions in the last few years.
Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is an interesting case. I'm wondering if the service co-ops ever have a shortfall that they also go back to the districts to get more money, or has it only been that there's been extra funds after everything was settled up and the districts have been consistently getting a rebate? Are they taking a risk in this co-op or not? Do they sometimes have to pay and then sometimes make a lot of money? I'm just trying to figure out how it works.
Mr. Chair and Senator Roebling, I'll answer that, and if somebody from the co-op, if I'm wrong, they could speak up and correct me. But the co-op is operates similar to what an insurance company does. They collect the premium, they take the risk, they take the reserves. And if they've under-reserved, or if they're actuarially wrong, they do not go back and reassess. They do have the opportunity, like an insurance company would, or like PEEP does, to raise the premium on an annual basis. But they would not, if they take a loss, if they had a catastrophic health loss, the person supplying the insurance, they would be responsible for that loss. They do not have the right to go back and reassess for back premium for those losses. That would come out of their reserves. If they're under reserve, they would pick that up.
Any more questions for Ms. Allswiger? There are more testifiers, sir.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Matt Tobier, and I represent SEIU Local 284, the Union of School Support Staff, and also speak tonight on behalf of the Minnesota School Employees Association. I'll keep my comments brief. I don't have fancy facts and figures like Ms. Allswiger, but our members do oppose this bill in that there hasn't been a problem, in that it works, and that if this is an issue, it's an issue that can be handled on the local level, and it could be handled on a local level in the collective bargaining process. The vast majority of our members of sports staff are not in PEEP, and they're not in PEEP because they don't want to be in PEEP because they like the coverage they have. What they have now works. Now, for a very few small cases in a few districts, they've found that in those instances, for whatever specific reasons, PEEP is the insurer of last resort, And a lot of these folks are, you know, some of the same cases that were referenced earlier, whose entire paychecks go to health insurance. I just wanted to make a couple comments. There were some comments made that I think need a little bit more explaining about that this is something that can be done unilaterally and without the district's knowledge. Currently in law, if you look at the PEEP statute, the employees must notify the employer that they are looking into PEEP and that they are actively pursuing PEEP. And they can only do this at a specific window when their contract is expiring. And they cannot move into PEEP or any other health insurance plan unless their current contract has expired. And so school district employees and city and county change, well, the school district employees change health insurance plans from time to time. And it often happens amicably with the district moving together. Our employees have no desire to do sort of move on to some sort of plan or do anything that's going to hurt the district and hurt the students. So we don't see this as having been a problem. We don't see this as being a problem moving forward. And if this is really an issue for a specific school district, they can add this into their forward collective bargaining agreement and say that this is something that they want in their specific collective bargaining agreement. It's not something that needs to be legislatively mandated or changed at this level. So with that, I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If the bargaining unit needs to notify, it is for you, sir. If they, you said there's a notification provision, but is there any provision for then the school board to say, no, we don't want you to do that? I mean, is it just a notification, or are they, I'm still concerned about whether everybody's at the table for this bargaining. And I believe that everyone should be at the table for the bargaining.
Mr. Togar.
And I will not purport to be an expert on the PEEP process, but as my understanding of law is that if the employee group decides to move to PEEP, say from Health Partners into PEEP, the district does not have the right, the ability to say, no, you must stay with this particular plan. So they do have the ability on there to choose another health insurance plan for their health insurance.
Thank you. Senator Roebling.
Thank you. Does this only apply if they're going to PEEP or to any other? If, say, the employee group found another plan that was considerably less expensive than what they were paying, could they do it then, or does it only apply for PEEP?
Mr. Chair and Senator Roebling, from our experience, not in PEEP and from moving from one health insurance provider to another health insurance provider, it's always happened on a very, along with the district, that both the district and the employees both recognize that moving to a different provider for costs or services, whatever the reason, was in the best interest for all parties. So it's not something that's been contentious on one side or the other in our experience.
Thank you, Ms. Togar. I have a question. Help me out a little bit. If currently what can happen is any employee, I mean these districts and the city employees, they can choose when they go to PEEP, can they choose individually go to PEEP, or does that bargain unit for that particular municipality or school board, do all of them have to go? Exactly how does that work? And if they do, isn't that... If they go piecemeal, isn't that harmful to the current health care pool that they're in?
Mr. Chair, that's a great question. They, as a group, so it would have to be the group of custodians or the group of teachers or whomever, would have to, as a majority vote, to decide to go as a group. And I believe there's folks who could speak to this with more experience than myself, but in the practical implications of that, if one group was to go, it's not necessarily that it wouldn't be economical or cost effective for just one group to go. That you have to have a large enough group of scale to make it even worthwhile to go. But to your question, that a single group would have the opportunity to do that.
Senator Roebling.
Mr. Chair, could I respond to Senator Roebling's earlier question? The response to that is, it's the language of the current PEEP bill that allows the bargaining unit to move to PEEP. If they were going to go from Medicaid to XYZ, they would have to negotiate that with the employer. The reason they can do it under the PEEP is because the current PEEP bill, the language allows them to exclusively as a bargaining unit do that. And that's one of the things we're trying to clarify, so it's an equal playing field, the same as they would have if they were switching insurance companies within the system and not through PEEP.
Thank you, Senator Dames. Senator Roebling, did you still have a question?
Yes. I'm wondering, as these groups are looking at PEEP, do they engage the other bargaining units within the school district, or is there just like the custodians looking at it or just the teachers looking at it, or are they trying to bring in the secretarial staff, the principal's bargaining unit, the custodial bargaining unit, and the teachers? I mean, are they trying to get the whole group to go? It's a problem if it's piecemeal. I understand that. So what has been the experience?
Mr. Chair and Senator Roebling, in our experience, there is the desire to move to all go together because it just doesn't make economic sense to go off on your own, shrinking your pool.
Mrs. Altswager.
Mr. Chair and Senator Roebling, the law currently is that the exclusive rep has the ability to do this. So there are some employee units, possibly secretaries, custodians, that are not a member of a union. They don't have an exclusive representative. Those individuals are not allowed to go in on their own, like the exclusive rep. When there are multiple unions in a district, the teachers have asked all bargaining units if they would like to get the bid. And the vast majority, if not almost all of them or all of them, are all seeking the bid because it's voluntary, it's competitive, they have one more option. If teachers have a plan, if a school district has a plan through Medica, and they decide to go to Health Partners, there are labor management insurance committees in some districts, not every district. It is not a subject, with all due respect, it is not a subject of collective bargaining who your carrier is going to be. That right now is solely a school board decision. There are some districts, a number of districts, that like to have the conversations with the school employees. But in terms of actual who has the authority, it is not collectively bargained who is going to be the provider.
Senator Wolf.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just had a clarifying question. You said it wouldn't make sense for the various collective bargaining units to do things without each other, but is there the potential that you could have just the custodians and the paras, for say, that are on one payment or one health care plan, and then you've got the teachers that are on a different health care plan, and the school districts is providing two different types of health care plans for the different school employees?
Mr. Togar.
Mr. Chair and Senator Wolf, the various groups could have, the possibility exists to have different providers. However, in most instances, it wouldn't be beneficial for that to happen. And if there are cases that it does happen, I think there's specific local reasons for why that is that I couldn't necessarily explain to you at the moment. But I think it just goes to show that there are decisions that are made at the local level for local reasons, for whatever reasons those may be, that sort of changing that local control here might not make sense.
Ms. Keller, did you have a comment?
Yes. Mr. Chairman and members, Grace Kelleher with the Minnesota School Boards Association. I just wanted to add in that school boards are not allowed, and this is proven through case law, to unilaterally move a provider even for an identical plan. We are restricted by law to bargain that. We don't bargain a carrier, but by case law, we are told we can't even have the identical plan from Medica to Health partners if we get a better deal. So we are very limited by case law on what we are allowed to do with those bids. And this would be a unilateral movement without school board consent to move, you know, part of your employees to another insurance program. Compensation and benefits, the two things we do. School districts spend about 85% of the money we receive on employee salaries and benefits. And we're not for-profit institutions, so that the extra money stays within, little extra money or none, stays within our walls. So it's a reinvestment cycle for kids.
Thank you, Ms. Keller. Senator Roebling.
Thank you. I don't know who should answer this, but Ms. Salzweiger said that typically there is a dollar amount negotiated for health care benefits. And is it always a dollar amount, or do any of them do it by percent?
Ms. Keller.
Mr. Chairman and members, school districts do it one of two ways. The School Board Association urges them to do it by a dollar amount because, as Ms. Alford mentioned, that's certainly clear what the district's responsibility is. But there are places all around the state where there is a percentage amount in the contract that teachers will not budge off of. So whatever those costs are, they are borne equally by the school district and the employees going forward. And I would say, it's half and half.
Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Alsweiger mentioned that perhaps school boards could use the collective bargaining timeline as a barrier to this, that they could say, well, we want a collective bargain, and then they would put it beyond the time frame that they could actually be a part of PEEP. Could you comment on that time frame, please?
Ms. Keller.
Mr. Chairman and Senator McGuire, that's a good question. That was not part of our original thought with this bill in the least, so that the timelines weren't something we consider. We have our contracts closed, and we're actually waiting for the Education Committee to do their work and give us the number that we got to shoot for and make work for kids in the community.
But if I could.
Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. But is it a possibility that they're going to be too late for PEEP then? If they do go through the collective bargaining process and everybody is at the table, but they'll be too late, and so school boards could say, well, arguing in good faith, say, we want a collective bargain, but then wait until after the PEEP process. And how could we avoid that from happening?
Ms. Keller.
Senator McGuire, certainly the intent would be, we've got 220 units out there asking for PEEP bids right now. Mm-hmm. So at some point, the timeline runs on that, and they've already started the process going forward. So I would say that's a significant amount of school district budgets that are just waiting on a response from PEEP and whether the employees decide to go or not. It's not a decision the school board is consulted on or we're at the table. It happens by present law all on its own.
I know.
So this bill would be a much more inclusive process that would bring us to the bargaining table. And certainly that's where we are. I mean, it's really incumbent upon the adults to make schools work for kids. And it's something the teachers and the board members take very seriously.
Senator Kelash.
Yeah, Mr. Chair. One of the things I'm not quite sure I understand with your testimony, and that is that you're saying that the school board likes to get the money back from the service providers so they have other stuff. If we can save teachers money on health insurance, it's like giving them a raise because they're not taking it out of their pocket. They're actually taking home more, and that's what the testimony of Mr. Alsweiger was. And what I'm, one of the things that it is not, what the language of the bill is, it is that they must agree. And that is not necessarily a negotiation. It means either side can veto, and which is, I don't think, healthy either, because both sides have reasonable reasons to have whatever they are trying to do. but one side shouldn't be able to veto the other one and be stuck, especially depending on who's paying the freight. If the school boards are paying a certain amount and any extra cost is going to the teachers coming out of their base wage, there should be a way for the teachers to be able to say, we need to save this money. We're freezing teachers' salary. Their cost of gas just skyrocketed. All the other things going on. And what we're saying here is that teachers can't take things into their own hands to try to save some money, not just for themselves, but also for the school districts as well. And I'm trying to figure out a way that we can say that this can happen and still, you know, move this forward without this stopping all at once and with this bill. So,
Ms. Keller.
Well,
Senator Dames,
Mr. Chair, Senator Kelash, in earlier testimony, we did hear that some pay a flat amount. There are a lot of school districts that pay a percent. So if they're paying a percentage, they're going to be encouraged to save money because those that are paying a percentage are going to save money also. So the contention would be that you have a school board that's running a multi-million-dollar budget. They're going to be looking at ways to save money for everybody. And if they're on a percentage, they're certainly going to have that incentive to do that. In an earlier testimony, we heard that this bill would not work because it was collective bargaining and they couldn't get the bargaining done by May 31st. A little later in testimony, we heard an argument that it wasn't collective bargaining because it wasn't worded that way. So if it's collective bargaining, then we've solved that. If it's not collective bargaining, then it's solved that May 31st is not a deadline. So which way is it going to be? I think it actually pertains to collective bargaining, but there's people that do not. If they do not, then it shouldn't be an issue because we're giving them till May 31st. And in here, if that's not collective bargaining, then they can do it now without opening up the contract.
Mr. Chair? On the language that they must agree, that is not collective bargaining. That means either side could have a veto over either decision, the way I read this. Now, I would guess that, I would think that would also be bad for the school board. But what I'm trying to do is find some finer points to get this to have some flexibility in that. And there should be something that says if a cheaper plan can be found, that the school board has an obligation to look at that and either find equally beneficial plans for the folks that are footing the bill, most of the bill for their health insurance, or have a strong reason not to that can be agreed upon. But we're kind of, if the school board's getting money back from the service co-ops, the incentive for that is much more diminished than it is for saving money for the teachers. That's my point, Mr. Senator Dames. So,
Senator Dames.
Mr. Chair and Senator Kelash, I want to make a few comments and then I'll turn it over. So what you're saying is this is not collective bargaining. So then you're agreeing with me that May 31st is not an issue, that we should be able to go ahead if they want to go to Pete, then they should be able to do it by negotiating with the principal or the superintendent of the school board, because you're saying this is not collective bargaining. So then what you're doing is you're saying May 31st is not an issue and that they should be able to deal with this, come to a conclusion, and switch to PEEP if they so choose to by May 31st. Is that what I'm hearing?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dames, I'm not as familiar with the PEEP law, and May 31st isn't in this bill. So is that what the PEEP law says?
That no, that's
May 31st?
Mr. Chair and Senator Kelash, that's not what the PEEP law says. That's what the testifier just said earlier, that that was a problem because it was collective bargaining and they would not be able to collectively bargain this by May 31st. Then you're stating that it's not collective bargaining, that it's just an agreement between the two parties is not collective bargaining. So if it's not collective bargaining, they do not have to open up the contract. If they do not have to open up the contract, this should not be an issue then to deal with it by May 31st.
Mr. Chair, except that what I'm hearing you say is that the bargaining units would not be allowed to go into PEEP unless the school boards agreed, which takes a whole different. I mean, we're talking. I'm not trying to argue with you about it. I'm just trying to say that it seems to me that we're doing all or nothing, and there should be something in between, Senator Dames.
Mr. Chair and Senator Kielash, I think when you get into collective bargaining, if one side disagrees, they walk away from the table. If the other side disagrees, they walk away from the table. So there's really, what is the difference between walking away from the table in that situation and walking away from the table in this situation? What I'm hearing is that certain bargaining units do not want to have to get the permission of the other party. And I think that's wrong. I think both parties have to be involved, and both parties have to agree to this. Whether it's going into PEEP, whether it's going to something else, they both have to agree to this. That's no more than fair and right.
Ms. Kelleher, did you have a comment?
Yes, Mr. Chairman and members. And I want to confirm that school board members don't have an interest, personal interest, in how this bill rolls out. And Ms. Alzweiger made quite a few comments here, and I don't want to any means say I believe she is correct or accurate on school districts. Board members don't make a big benefit being a board member. Senator Goodwin's a good example if you want to talk to someone who's given lots of hard work with little reward. It's something you serve your community on. And the whole idea that we're running to the bank or stuffing our pockets, I take great exception to.
I say
the reason we do this is because we get to save money and put more monies in the classroom for kids. And that's what drives school board members. And I believe it's not the greed that drives the teachers, but it's really our heartfelt interest in doing what's best for the district. And we're suggesting with this bill that everybody deserves to be at the table, and this shouldn't be the sole decision of the teacher bargaining unit to do this.
Thank you, Ms. Kelleher. Senator Wolf.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, I wanted to comment on Senator Kielash's question about collective bargaining. Any part that's collectively bargained can be vetoed by either side. That's a whole part of that process. If they each bring it, and each one can say, nope, we don't like it, and then they just keep coming back until they come up with something. My question to the school board is, if the school board can set an amount, like let's say, go back to that $400. If you say the teachers are going to pay $400 towards their health insurance, if there is not going to be any extra burden on the school district, is that a problem if teachers go out and get PEEP? Or I can see where the school board shouldn't have to be suddenly had something thrown at them, here's what you're going to have to pay for, because then you've got to rearrange your finances, and that may end up in some cuts or may, you know, that can have some other repercussions. But if the school board, if it's decided that, you know, you're going to give $400 for teachers for the health insurance, whether it be the school board comes up with the health insurance or teachers go out and get PEEP, you're still contributing $400, period. Is that still a problem?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Wolf, certainly what I've seen has happened in a lot of these cases, and I don't want to be disparaging to others in my remark, but I'll have to say vendors sometimes, you know, put together a really good package for the first year, but it's the second year that you run into problems. And I want to be careful to say in that, you know, we could have somebody that gives us a great package the first year, but really gets us in the out years, or by some form of limiting the insurance providers. And I think it's something Education Minnesota and the school board members could agree to, that we'd like to keep that cost at the same piece and be provided the same kind of coverage from the providers. But that's not something we can control. So I suggest that's really difficult to control the vendor and how they package it. And I think we need some kind of, I don't want to say, some kind of revelation that the true cost wouldn't be, you know, front-ended or back-ended in the contract that we would have to pay. Generally, that is a concept, though. We're very committed to
it. Right. Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Senator Wolf.
I understand that. But if the difference, if the school board committed to $400, and if the teachers wanted to take that risk that's going to change up and down, you know, you may save money in the first year and then you may get double whammied the following year, but the school board's going to stay consistent with that $400. Is that something that the teachers can go off and take that chance on, and the school board can stick to that? You know what, we're going to do $400. If you want to leave and go do PEEP, and in the second year they double your premium, you're stuck with it. You're getting $400 from the school board.
Mr. Chairman.
Ms. Keller.
Senator Wolf, I'd ask Ms. Kushner to help me explain this. You know, generally,
I mean,
Senator Wolf, we're interested in the whole body of the teacher, mm-hmm. and if they can't be healthy and be in school with the kids don't score well. I mean, we don't do well unless we're both sort of working in harmony together for kids. And though that, you know, certainly would limit our initial cost as you ran by it, you know, if we don't have the teachers in with the kids, we have an interest in the whole teacher being held well. And Ms. Kushner might have some, but yes, generally that's okay. I just don't think our boards can turn a blind eye to what teachers need and the support they need in their insurance to be great for kids.
Ms. Kushner.
We're there to help that, not to hinder it.
You had some comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be very brief. I just want to make the point that I bargained contracts in Minnesota cities for about 10 years before I went to the League of Minnesota Cities, and it has never been my experience that a union has said, let's stay at $400 forever. And the other point I would like to make, I don't know how this works in school districts, but I can speak for cities. And one of the biggest fears, one of the reasons we're here testifying tonight, is that in cities, you could have a healthy unit. The police unit tends to be younger than the rest of the city because they retire at age 50 quite often. It's a young, healthy unit. They can take their business, they can move out to PEEP, and what is left behind is the unhealthy group. That means the costs are driven up for the entire rest of the city, and that is not fair. The city is about being an employer for all of its employees. We are there to look after all of the employees, not one group pitted against another. That's our job, and that's why we want the business all to be kept together, except on maybe some rare cases where it makes sense to do otherwise. But we don't want one group to just go off and say, nope, we're going to take all of our nice, young, healthy employees and get the best deal we can for them, and the rest of you, do the best you can on your own.
Senator Stephen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I understand that, and I think you may, that's a really good argument. But my question still goes back to what Senator Wolf was getting at, which is I understand the local unit of government or the school district isn't going to stay at $400 forever. But couldn't they stay at $400 for the term of that health insurance contract or the term of that period of time that you're bargaining? I mean, I think where I was following what Senator Wolf was saying is, what's the problem with saying there's X number of dollars available under current law? That's what, from what I understand, that's what usually happens in cases. And so if that does happen where the teacher's entire needs aren't being met because of the change in the contract or something in terms of the insurance that's provided to the teacher, what's the harm of having that bargaining unit go to PEEP to get a quote? Because the local unit of government or the school district is still contributing the same amount. That's where there's some disconnect here I'm not picking up on.
Mr. Chair, Senator Stevens, a couple of things to bring up is this does not limit the school board or the bargaining unit to get a quote from PEEP. This does not limit that. The other thing, keep in mind, is we're talking about, we've talked a lot about a flat fee. But there's really three types of programs that float around, from what I understand, talking to various school districts. There's the one that's a percentage. There's the flat fee. But probably a very popular one also is that they pay for the individual coverage. And if they pay for the individual coverage, the school board then is on the hook for every change that makes up or down or wherever it goes. And there is individual coverage being paid for out there, and that's the base of where the school board starts. So that would make a difference into how that would work. If somebody was paying a flat fee of $400, yes, and that's exactly what they paid, they might be able to save some money until the next bargaining contract was there. And at that bargaining contract that went up, you know that the bargaining unit's going to ask for more money.
Right, but Mr. Chair, just to follow up, Senator Dames, that
yes.
means that individual contract is also part of the bargaining process.
But what I'm not following where the confusion's coming on apply or asking for a quote from PIP, from PEEP.
My point was that if the employer is given X number of dollars,
yes.
$400,
mm-hmm.
that's a decision that the local bargaining unit made with the local unit of government. And that could be a consistent decision made across all bargaining units within a local entity.
Mr. Chair and Senator Sieben, that would be correct. But we're
right.
making an assumption here that that's the way they're all paid, and that's the incorrect part. They're not all paid that way. They're paid in various different ways. The school board that operates under paying strictly $400, very correct. But that's not all of them are that way.
Right, but if, Mr. Chair, I'm sorry, but just to not belabor this, but to belabor it, if Ms. Kelly said that that was a preference that the school board association had, maybe that would be a, this type of education then would make it more compelling for the school districts to bargain for a specific number of dollars. Why upset a system, I guess, that seems to be working and that, you know, and if it's not because there isn't X number of dollars on the table, it's because there's a percentage and they, and through the collective bargaining process, they're bargaining that there's a percentage of coverage, which isn't really the point of the bill or the problem with the that you've rung up.
Mr. Chair, Senator Sieben, if you wanted to limit it to the, like I said earlier, if you're going to limit it to the ones that get $400, that may be a legitimate argument. But because that's a preferred way does not mean that all the school boards are doing it that way. So there is a difference. There's several different ways of doing it. And what this bill is doing is saying that you need to have both parties agree to go into PEEP. Now, you say if it's not broken, in a sense, why try to fix it? We don't know if it's broken or not, because right now you have a very, very few, very small number of people that are into the PEEP program. This movement is just starting. Now, how many of these 200 and some school districts will end up going into PEEP? We don't know. From talking to the PEEP people, every year there's several people that look at PEEP but don't always go there. So we don't know exactly where they're going to go. But I still am under the contention that there should be the right to negotiate by both parties. When one party is paying part of the bill, they ought to have the right to be in that decision.
Senator Kielash.
Yeah, Mr. Chair. Senator Dames, I think part of my confusion is, could you give me some examples of school boards that have been hurt by the current law that with some concrete numbers or how that's worked where it's been a problem? Because right now it just... It almost sounds like we're trying to prevent a problem that we don't even know for sure exists.
Mr. Chair and Senator Kielash, I'm not sure how many people are in the PEEP program. I think it's around 4,000 to 5,000. So for me to specifically say this specific school board was harmed by it would probably be pretty hard. But in a sense, I could turn right around and start listing off other things that might deal with collective bargaining and say, can you show me that they've hurt anybody? And you probably can't. So I think that this is something that is just a matter of about putting everything on a playing field that's equal for all the players. And why would we not want to do that? Why would we want to move somebody into PEEP, not pass this bill, move people into PEEP, and if you look at part of this bill, it says that they have the right, the bargaining unit has the right to move back out in a year if they can find cheaper insurance. Now, insurance business fluctuates considerably all the time. So the best rate today, I can guarantee you, will be not the best rate down the road. It's just not going to be. Because when one company is low today, another company is going to be higher. And it's a gradual shift. And it has a lot to do with the way they do their actuarial work and stuff like that. What might be in the group, how they change the group. If a group starts having large losses, they're going to go out and they're going to try to get other people in that group that will help those losses and help change that actuarially. So why would we want to put people in a position to where they'd have to stay 2 years in the PEEP like they have to stay now? Why would we not want to have this be a free market and have everybody play by the same rules, whether they go with PEEP or go with Medica or whoever they might go with, a co-op? I don't care where they go. I just want it to be a playing field that everybody plays by the same rules. Currently, if you're with XYZ company, XYZ has to give you a report of your losses and everything like that on a timely basis. PEEP right now does not have to do that. This would require PEEP to do that. And that's no more than a fair playing field. So it's all about leveling the playing field and putting everything on a fair basis. I'm not concerned if school districts go to PEEP. I don't have a problem with that. If they stay where they're at, I don't have a problem with that. Let's make it fair playing field.
Senator Rowland, you had a question?
Well, I'm still puzzling a little bit because I heard what Ms. Allswiger said about she suspects that districts may not want to allow them to go to PEEP because they won't be able to recoup the extra funds that may come back through the co-op. However, I also realize that the districts may be on the hook if the co-op doesn't have enough money to cover a year. So if it can truly go either way, I mean, that makes it a little more fair. But I do understand what she said. I mean, if this is a consistent thing, if the insurance premiums are so high every year that there is consistently a refund to the districts, and it truly is, if especially at the 400 rate, at that example, it wouldn't be such a big deal if it's a percent, because then each, it shouldn't be such a big deal then. But it troubles me if the districts get all that money back and use it for other purposes when it was actually paid for health insurance. I'm troubled with that part.
Mr. Chair and Senator Roebling, and I think that we should be puzzled with that, and we should have a problem with it. I am not convinced that maybe it's happening as much as what maybe it's being thought to happen. I have talked to various school boards, and I have yet to find one that is doing that. Now, I've found school boards that are getting money back, and what they've done is they've agreed with the teachers as to how that money could be spent, if the teachers want to take some of it back, if they want to apply it to future health premiums, if they want to apply it to programs within the teaching system. The school boards I've talked to are getting some of these refunds. They're not getting them every year, but when they get them, they've been cooperating with the teachers to determine how they want to do it. If the teachers want to get them back, if they don't want to get them back, for various reasons, if they want to use them for teacher support or things like that. So I think there's two sides to a story, and maybe I don't have enough of the other side to present today as far as what some of that money is really going for.
Ms. Keller, you had a comment?
Yes, Mr. Chairman and members, I'd just like to share that school districts have to publicly report all their funds. It's a matter of public data. We share it with everybody. If the insurance program costs more, if it costs less, depending if you have a percentage or a dollar amount, as Senator Sieben hit on, it can impact the district differently. But we're not, you know, we do a lot of other things at co-ops besides just insurance. We do bulk buying programs. We do lots of other programs together. And to say that we only do insurance is incorrect. And if, in fact, the school district does get a joint buying rebate, certainly that should be allowed to share. Those are publicly reported documents to the school boards. I mean, these are nothing is done in secret. Everything is part of, certainly our staffs are key integral parts of all of it. And I just, my hackles are raised when school board members, elected officials, are accused of impropriety when it comes to this. And that's just not factually true. We are trying to make every dollar count for kids and our staffs every day. And that there is impropriety mentioned or thought of in regards to this program is inappropriate.
I guess I just have two comments. One, it would appear, and I would believe it's a, you know, heavily regulated and controlled operation, school boards and school districts. It's volumes of code and statute to say that. So I'm sure dollars are tracked and allocated, and if we have specific examples where a school district or a board has committed some sort of fraud with these dollars, and then someone can bring that forward. Secondly, to me, it just boils down to a simple, you got money going out, somebody has to pay for it, you know, got to have both parties at the table. And it does become kind of a negotiating process. It won't be done in a vacuum, correct? They'll be working together and come with some solution. Any with that, is there any other questions from the committee for these testifiers? If not, anyone else wish to testify either for or against this bill? Anyone in the audience?
Mr. Chair, just
yes,
clarify, where's this bill going?
If it's Senator Dame's pleasure, be put on general orders.
Mr. Chair, I'd move that the Senate file 247 be passed and sent for general orders on the floor.
Senator Peterson, did you have a question?
No, I don't. I thought I was going to move the Senator Dames. I'm not sure.
Mr. Chair, I apologize. Yes. I cannot move the motion. I retract my motion.
Fully retracted.
Yeah, I need, you know, from my perspective, I'd like a short recess to ask you a question if I could, Chair.
Regarding this?
Yes.
Okay. Anyone oppose that? We'll recess for 5 minutes and return. So we'll recess 5 minutes and return at about 10 to 8.
I don't get it.